You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Two members of Congress, Republican Fred Upton and Democrat Debbie Dingell, are co-chairing a working group that's tackling the issues of school shootings and other gun issues. Representative Dingell joins us now. Welcome.
It's good to be with you, Lester.
You were quoted as saying, let's not have the same old discussion on guns. How are you approaching the discussion this time?
I'm trying to find where the common ground is. If we have the same old discussion, everybody goes to their corner, we don't make any progress. That's what's happened every time there's been a shooting. Every time the subject of guns has come up, people who can make a difference don't talk to each other. People don't move anything. So we have a group that is equally divided between Republicans and Democrats. And Fred Upton and I are leading the group. And Fred and I have met with everybody. We have met with the students and the teachers, prosecutors, judges, members of the ACLU, mental health experts, everybody that's got a stake in this game.
Are you talking to gun groups as well?
I am talking to people that are gun groups. I'm talking to gun owners. And just for the record, I'm married to probably one of the strongest protectors of the Second Amendment in this country. And this is an issue that we have strongly disagreed on because we come to it from different perspectives. His father taught him as a boy about hunting and fishing. I had a father who shouldn't have had access to guns. So none of us wants to see any child go to school and be afraid of what's going to happen to them at school. Nor should people be going to churches or to movie theaters and afraid of what's going to happen. So the question is, how do we keep our schools safer? How do we keep our communities safer? Are there certain things that we can do that make it safer? And that's what I'm trying to figure out. And then when we do reach some common ground, how do we actually get it moved through the Congress?
You mentioned your father. You appeared on CNN not too long ago, and during an interview, you said, my father shouldn't have had a gun. What's the story behind that?
Well, my father had a drug addiction, and when his moods would snap, there were guns in the house. We know that this is a problem with domestic abuse, that if there's a gun in the situation, there's a much higher likelihood of an outcome of violence or potential death. I actually had to get in between my parents and keep him from shooting a gun. I have hidden in a closet, scared to death about what was going to happen, afraid that we wouldn't make it with my brothers and sisters, praying to God, let us survive the night. So I do believe that family members and law enforcement need to have a tool that if someone is deemed a threat to themselves or to the community, that the gun can be taken away with due process there to protect them. And I also believe that if someone's been and I have one of the few bipartisan bills that's been in the Congress for a couple of years that would say if someone had been convicted of a domestic abuse, a convicted felon using a gun, that they not be able to have a gun.
As you know, there were rallies all around the nation regarding guns and school safety. What kind of impact are these marches and rallies by young people, such as the Parkland students, having on the members of Congress who are instrumental in making any possible changes?
You know, I think that our young people are 25% of our population and 100% of our future. And I think I've said this to the adults. We need to get out of the way and let them be our voice. One of the reasons everybody says the NRA is powerful because they have money, and I'm not diminishing the amount of their contributions, but I don't really think that that's why they impact the process. They impact the process because people who are NRA members are single-issue voters. They're afraid that someone's trying to take away their gun, which, by the way, we're not trying to, I'm certainly not trying to repeal the Second Amendment. I'm trying to make sure that if someone shouldn't have access to a gun, they not have access to a gun. But if these young people register to vote, if they're people in the communities that think some common sense tools like making sure if someone's a threat to themselves, a gun can be taken away, turn out and vote, then you're going to see a difference, I think, in whether people are willing to act.
You mentioned the so-called red flag law. What kind of meaningful bipartisan legislation has a chance in Congress? Making schools more safe, mental health, background checks, restriction on access. What's really under consideration?
So little things have already happened that people didn't realize. So when I was at the Ann Arbor March, people were saying that part of what the Parkland students also wanted was to allow the CDC to do research on gun violence, which is something that we should have done a long time ago. That was actually included in the omnibus, as was the NICS fix, which begins to ensure that the data being entered is being entered, the data that we need for the background check system when people are buying guns. Unfortunately, we need to expand the background check, and I do believe that a majority of people in the Congress support it, but we have to encourage leadership to be willing to bring that forward. Also, with the Safe Schools Act was included in the omnibus that passed last week, which will give grants to local communities to make their schools safer. And I think that belongs at the local level, because that's where you know what you need to do from a community perspective to ensure that your schools are safe. But we do need to. We will, Fred and I will be introducing with Susan Brooks a red flag bill that actually was passed in Indiana. It will be a version of the Indiana legislation that Vice President Pence, Governor Mitch Daniels supports. They're conservatives. Indiana is a conservative state, and they've used this law more than 800 times already. I am hopeful with the kind of Republican support that we see there that we can get that through. I'm having a lot of success in talking to people about domestic violence. And quite frankly, there really is general consensus on the bump stock, so we just need to figure out how to get that on a moving bill and get a bill introduced to ban the bump stock.
When you mentioned that people go to their corners and they stand in their positions, I'm wondering, when you hear a former justice of the Supreme Court and activists say we need to repeal the Second Amendment, how helpful is that in finding some kind of compromise?
Well, quite frankly, it wasn't helpful, and a lot of people have used that to say that, you know, we want to ban all guns in this country. And I know that there are people that do want to ban all guns. I just want to make it safe for people in the community. Hunting and fishing has been an important part of American culture, and there are many people in this country who have learned to do it from generation to generation. But there are people that shouldn't have access to guns, such as my father. We do know that we have an escalating incidence of gun violence in this country. So how do we take some common sense solutions that keep people safe, but, you know, still protect the Second Amendment?
Debbie Dingell represents Michigan's 12th Congressional District. She, along with Fred Upton, are co-chairing the Working Group on Response to the Parkland Shooting, which is part of the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you.